Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening, and here we are live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And as you look out the window here, you can tell that it's rainy and nasty and all kinds of stuff going around down there. Matter of fact, I believe Houston's going to experience 39, 35 degree weather the next couple of days in the lowest part of our temperature, and everybody absolutely freaks out in Houston. We get out our parkas, we get out our leather coats, we got out everything that we can because we're not used to that kind of cold. Now, our guest tonight is all the way from the other part of the world, and it's really cold there, so maybe she can give us some tidbits on how to stay warm during our winter months here. But welcome to the program. We just have some great guests coming up in the next few weeks, and tonight is no exception to that rule. We have a large following, it looks like, already for tonight's guest, so that's a good thing. So she must have some people that are watching and interested in what she has to say. When we start off this new year, I want to kind of, if you can, grab a piece of paper and a pen and write these things down, if you would, because I think the next two or three weeks, I'm going to give you a couple points of things on maybe not what to do, but maybe some things that you don't need to be doing anymore in a new year. And I always try to come up with a few tidbits of things that will be able to help you in life, that you can be able to take with you. And I always say, if you invest an hour with us each Sunday night, hopefully you'll get one or two things that you can use throughout the rest of the week that will help you out. And I think happiness, everybody wants to be happy, but happiness is a choice. And I personally think that if we really want to get the best out of our lives, we need to look at these type of beginnings in the new year as a platform to be able to go, hey, wait, I want to do something different. I want to make something better. I'm not satisfied with the status quo, and I don't want to be mediocre anymore. Probably, and this is all off the top of my head, probably one of the most powerful books I ever have read in my life was by Charles Swindoll. And I'm trying to think of the name of it. Here it is. It's just now coming to you. Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. And I think that's where I want to be this year. I don't want to be just the norm. I don't want to be just ordinary. I want to be extraordinary. And I think the time that we have left, let's face it, huddle up if you want to. Tomorrow morning, the news is going to be filled with the worst possible filth you've ever seen on the face of this earth, even worse than what it's been the last 4 years. We're going to take all this stuff and we're just going to argue and argue and argue all the way until we get this new president. And then probably when the new president comes in, it's going to be the same thing over and over. I want to let you know, what you need to do is take your remote control and turn the stupid thing off and don't watch it. It's not worth our time and effort, because all it's doing is causing us to be negative people. And I think this world deserves better than that. And personally, I know you do. So I just want to give you three things tonight, and then we're going to get to our guest. This is all free of charge. It didn't cost you anything extra tonight for this, these bits of wisdom for you. But the first thing I want you to write down, I don't want you to think you have already missed your chance anymore. Stop thinking that. Thinking that the chance has already passed you by. Every moment in your life, including right now, is an opportunity for a fresh start. And I think our guest is going to jump on that. I think she's going to say, you're right. I've been down that road. I've been surrounded by negativity. I've been in situations where I didn't want to be in. But there's always a possibility and an opportunity for a fresh start. And I think there's three powerful words that I want you to write down under this number one as we go through these next few weeks that can change your life if you'll just use them starting now. And these are the words. You ready? From now on. From now on, I'm not going to put up with that kind of stuff. From now on, I'm going to be more positive. From now on, I'm not going to let other people drag me down. From now on, I'm not going to think about that. From now on, I'm not going to complain about my job. I'm going to be happy that I have one. From now on can change your life, and it can absolutely give you the indication that you haven't missed your chance yet. That opportunity is still there, and all you have to do is step through the door. Every time I come to a closed door in life, I sometimes stand there and wait for it to crack open. And then I just kick it open. Remember the old Hawaii Five-0 series where, who was that? Jack Lord, McGarrett, would kick the door in and arrest the thief. From now on, that opportunity for a new life is right there in front of you. Reach out and grab that. Another one. Changing who you are just to satisfy others. Stop the nonsense. Why would you want to change who you are just to make everybody else happy? And we do that. And if you're surrounded with people right now that really want you to be this way, turn this way, change this about you and I'll like you, is that really the people that you want around you in life? I don't think so. No matter how loud their opinions are, others cannot choose who you are. And I think that's important. And one more, because I really want to get to the guest, but putting up with negative people and negative thinking. I think it's time that in your life, when you're able to, start walking away from all the drama that is around you. I work in an environment that sometimes gets drama filled. And even in the world of everybody working from home, that drama still has a unique ability to still come across in emails. Just walk away from all that when you can. Don't get caught up in that. And all the people that create that, surround yourself with people that make you smile, that make you think you're worth who you are because you are worthy. Don't be surrounding yourself with people that drag you down. Surround yourself with people that bring you up and always see the good side in things. And I think this will be an awesome year. That's just three right now, and I won't go into the rest of them because I want to get to it. But in the next 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to have 10, 12, 15 of these just to kind of give you an idea of not what to do, But I like the first one, from now on can change your life. I'll tell you what, we have an awesome guest tonight. And Cheryl Price is, she moved to Canada from the UK back in 2018. And, you know, this is what's so neat about this program is I literally have, I think, 13, 14 pages of emails that I have had discussions with Cheryl about. We won't talk about that unless she wants to talk about that. But I love the opportunity of getting to be able to connect with people in the UK, in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand, and just find out about what they're going through. And it doesn't get any better that when you go through all of those, and I think it may have been, I don't know when the first one of these were, but it may have been a year or so ago, November 19th, 2019 was one of them here in the early ones. So we're talking several years ago of just communicating with people and connecting with people and making relationships of people that you may never be able to meet. But now it's neat that we have this video concept of a radio show and then eventually a podcast starting Tuesday of this show where I can actually see this person say, Cheryl, what's on your mind? And her and her husband, I have her husband and three of her four kids are with them in Canada. She's a clinical counselor, a trauma therapist. So believe you me, I'm going to try to get some free advice out of her to help me tonight, and I hope you can too. And an art therapy clinician. I don't know what that means, but I know art is a, we've had a lot of people on the show about that. And we're going to talk about that too. She has experience in private practice, agency, and school settings. She's also worked as a senior residential social worker in a therapeutic unit for severely abused children. I can go through, and the biography here, the bio on her is very, very long, but I'm just going to cut it at that. She knows what she's talking about. And I just want to welcome tonight, all the way from Canada, Cheryl Price. Cheryl, welcome to the program. Can you hear me tonight?
I can. Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you for having me on here.
That's awesome. I have not heard your accent yet, so that's just great. Fantastic. So what part of Canada, Cheryl, are you and your husband living in right now?
We're in BC, in a tiny little mountain town in BC, yeah.
So what's the temperature there right now?
Well, actually, there's no snow here right now, which is super unusual. So we've had snow, but right now at this moment, it's pretty like it's just zero. It's like it's pretty warm for this time of year. It's okay. I think, yeah.
That's pretty warm for this time of year.
Well, you know, it was really cold last winter, so I'm just comparatively, yeah.
Well, welcome to the program. It's just great to have you. And Cheryl, I think, because I did not go back and read all these emails. I just had printed them and I wanted to print your bio. We hit print. And then this whole stack of paper comes out and go, whoa, this is all the emails that we've ever had on each other. And I think you came across and I believe you said, I don't think it was by chance. How did you even find out about me? It was on a place that all of our listeners should know about, Avaya University. Is that right?
Ah, I'm glad you've been there. I couldn't remember. Yes, it was Avaya University.
Go ahead. No, please.
The timing, yeah, absolutely. I felt like it was so weird how that connections happen in life. And what I was going through my own life at that time in my own process and then coming across you was just more than coincidence. It was like where has this guy appeared from at this moment in my life? How has this happened? You know, and when I saw you speak, there's something in me was just like this was for a reason, you know. And then I reached out to you and I sent you this email. And when I think back to that, and actually before I say that, it was interesting because it was then recently that I heard you speak on another podcast, and I was just like, because it's been a while since I'd connected with you. And I was like, oh my gosh, so much has happened in my life since I reached out to you. And there was two reasons that I originally reached out to you. First of all, because I was so inspired by your transparency and your resilience and your willingness to share your own journey to help other people. And I was like, my gosh, you know, it was really inspiring. And I thought, is this real? Like, really? And then my communication with you was so, you were so real about it. You were so honest. You weren't saying, oh, I've got everything to get, you know, my life's perfect now. I've got no symptoms of anything. You were so honest. And the other reason, I'm just going to admit to this, was a little bit of a test, I think, because you said, and you said it again on the podcast I heard recently, I think that was on the trauma therapist podcast. Anyway, another thing you said was you said, if anyone contacts me, I will respond. And I thought in my cynical way, yeah, you know, he's not going to do that. And so I think there was partly that thing. And you did respond to me immediately, because it's just like, I want to help anyone, or I want to connect with anyone around the world. And you did. So I just felt you really honored what you said there.
I think that's important. I really believe that when people reach out, and because you know how hard it is, and you do know how hard it is to either type or share something that's happened to you in your life that is of utmost importance. It's your heart, and you're putting that in an email, then hitting send to a complete stranger. And if I go, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, I'll get back to you sometime next week, I want to jump on within. My goal is always within 5 minutes, and normally I beat that goal, but 5 minutes I respond back going, hey, here I am, what can I do for you? Of course, it takes me a while to type the response, but what can I do? How can I help you? So I appreciate that. And do you remember what the subject was on the Avaya University? Was that the one where it just talked about the book way back then?
Yeah, I think it was on, was it on abuse? I can't exactly remember. It feels like a long time ago, I guess, because a lot has happened since then. It feels like, yeah, but it may have been on the subject of trauma, abuse. I don't, yeah. They put on some good stuff, so I was listening.
Yeah, they do some wonderful things. And we've had the people from Avaya University on. Matter of fact, she was just on a few weeks ago, and they're just great people. So I highly recommend Avaya University and their work. So tell me what you do up there in Canada, what keeps you going, what gets you to throw that leg out from underneath the warm covers into the 0 degree weather to say, hey, wait, I'm passionate about this. I want to get this done today. What is it that gets you motivated and going every day?
Well, I'm just passionate about helping anyone that needs, you know, I think I share that, helping anyone that is looking for hope and looking for, you know, and I think since I was 19 years old, you know, I've just turned 50 last year. My whole life, that's been my passion, is who is without hope, and I want to hold hope for those who don't have it. So that's what gets me going. That's what, you know, because there is hope in this world. And that thing that you said at the beginning here about, I want to do something better this year, you know, that just really spoke to me, of this kind of like, I've learned now, you know, only in recent times, that I am enough. I'm enough. Like, I'm not going to listen to these voices of not being enough, or, you know, I'm enough. But I can do something better. And I think part of that doing something better for me personally is being really authentic and really like acknowledging, yeah, I haven't missed my opportunity to be, you know, even given it in this moment, to be really congruent and authentic. Because I think that's the piece that has been missing in my life, is that I've worn different hats. I've had my hat as a therapist, my hat as a mother, I've missed that whole congruence of being an integrated person. So that's what I do in my life, my just reaching those, and really, really a passion for those who don't have the resources to go and have private therapy, or, you know, it's like not everyone can do that. Passion is, you know, for those that don't have that. So,
you know, I think the listeners that listen all the time, you've heard a word that Cheryl's used, that we use all the time, being authentic. We talk about authenticity all the time, every week. And I honestly believe the world is waiting for people to be authentic for the first time in their lives. And I think it can change not only our lives, but let me tell you, you say you're 50. I'm in my 50s. You know, I'm getting closer to 60 than I am 50. I want to let you know that. But I tell you, we are in our prime for what can be used by us. We can be so used and such an instrument to change people's lives if we'll just allow that authenticity to sink in, so that everybody's listening tonight, that is an opportunity for you to do the same and jump in. Now, we're going to take our first break, Cheryl, but I'll tell you what, in about a minute and a half, we'll be back. But on the other side of this, I want to find out, I understand you may be putting pen to paper to write a book, and I want to know what that book's all about. So we'll talk about that, dig a little deeper on the other side of our first commercial break. Don't leave. Matter of fact, text somebody, text a friend or two, and say, hey, get on the Breaking the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. get on BBS Radio and listen to the show live. And we are live all the way around the world tonight with an unbelievable amount of people listening. So let them know that this is going to be a great show. And we'll be we'll be back right after this commercial break. You're up. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. All right. Welcome back. And we have Cheryl Price from British Columbia. Is that what you said? British Columbia, yeah. Canada. Last week, our guest was, I believe, from Alberta, Canada. Mm-hmm. And we're having a lot of Canadian friends up there. So just great to have you with us tonight. And you mentioned to me, Cheryl, that I think in an email recently that you were working on a book. Have you finished that book? Or are you still in the process? You know, book writing's hard, isn't it? You know, I've just listened to that commercial. It said summer of 2020. It's like, wait, it's 2021 and we're in January. The book hasn't come out yet. It's so, so tough. Tell me what is in mind for this book that you're penning and what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a combination, really. It's a lot about my personal journey. It's about healing from trauma. It's got a lot of theory in it as well, because I've found a real missing piece. You mentioned earlier about my the art therapy training. That has been my real journey to transformation for me. So it's a combination of my story and also an approach of helping heal from trauma. So I've written a lot. It's long. And I've also, I'm thinking that, you know, if I can do anything with it, if it's of use, you know, it's just like, if it helps one person, then it's worth it. So I also thinking now of putting a lot of my art in it, because I've done a lot. I'm not an artist, but I've got a huge amount of art, which is a huge part of my story, that I can put images in my book as well, which I think I'm hoping will be an inspiration to help people look to art therapy as a way of helping them on their journeys, because it certainly was for me.
You know, we've had a lot of people on the show that says that art has saved them. And, you know, to be honest with you, this thing right here, this piano has saved me when I'm down and out. I'll sit there and just beat on that thing until it begs for more. It's that release that I need, that I think is somewhat similar to the release that what you have. So is the book completed yet?
Well, I'm certainly over. I mean, I'm at that stage where I've got so much that, I mean, there's over 100. I'm not sure how many words are in a book, but I've kind of got all this. I'm well over 100,000 words. So I think it's time I need to do something with it. It's all there, and it's, you know, it's a lot of reflective writing, it's theory, it's journaling, you know, it's a mixture. it's quite messy, but in a sense, the fact that it's messy is almost intentional in that it's not a tidy story, right? Life isn't right. Tidy.
So, yeah, and what's the title of it, Cheryl?
Well, I think it's going to be called From Bound to Bounding, Healing from Complex Trauma. I think that'll be my... I've thought about, because I did a... I might have sent you a picture of it, a webinar recently about the yellow brick road, because I've actually built, as part of my art therapy, my process, I actually built a physical yellow brick road, which was 40 feet long, and I cut up all my art and I made a yellow brick road out of it. So it's, you know, I use a lot of metaphor in my writing, and I walked on this road. There was something I needed to physically walk, because this is my path. This is my healing path. This is my... So I built it and I walked on it.
Okay, so let's just get down to the brass tacks. What has happened that has caused the trauma in your life that has brought you to where you are now, of all the healing and the therapy and the art process and the yellow road and all of that? What in a nutshell, or we can go as deep as you want, what has happened that's hurt you in the past?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, to put it in a nutshell, because my focus, and I love that this is everybody's journey, everybody's healing process, everybody's way of speaking, which is part of my connection with you, is different. So I came to this point where I was like, well, do I have to tell the heart, you know, is this my path? Is that, am I not real unless I tell the whole truth, the whole story, you know? So I've really gone through this journey of how, you know, I'm now 50 years old and it's been like in segments. And to be honest with you, Greg, it's like, yeah, I come from abuse, trauma, you know, a lot of it is sexual abuse, which is why obviously hearing you, it's just like, oh my gosh. And now he's telling his story in this way. My story I've told a lot in my art. But I lived a lot of my life until, you know, really even in my professional life, where a lot of times I was dissociative and I was very fragmented. And I was, you know, as I said earlier, I was living there was different parts of me. I connect very much with, I don't know if you know, in internal family systems theory, where we all have different parts of us. And I was very much functioning, you know, in different parts of myself in different ways. And so the hurt part of myself, the child part of myself, was very much buried and hidden and crushed. And I hated her and I blamed her for everything that went wrong in my life. And, you know, so I went through many years where I was either, you know, I had like 8 years anorexic. I had OCD for many years. You know, there was always something. I was in a psychiatric unit. I was sectioned. I was suicidal. There was always something in my life, but I could also put on a front and be this person that had it all together. Yeah. You know, it's like, here I am. Yeah, I can help others. You know, I was still helping others, but on the inside, I was in pieces. And so what happened to me, so it's almost like I needed to stop. And moving to this country, and suddenly I didn't have all these other people that I was taking care of. And obviously I had my children, but I didn't have all the, it wasn't even distraction. It was just like focused on other people. Other people always have it worse than I did. You know, it's just like, so, you know, it's, human trafficking is very much a passion of mine. So it's like, well, at least I didn't go through that. You know, this at least story that we tell, you know, look at all my clients, look at what they've been through, you know. So, but when I got to Canada and I start this art therapy program, it was like suddenly I'm faced with my own stuff and my body. And I you know, it's like connecting with art materials suddenly gave the child part of me, the wounded part of me, suddenly got a voice in terms of holding art material. Suddenly, like, oh, think so. I was getting, I was going from having symptoms, you know, very much panic attacks and these things that I'd kind of lived with in my professional life in the UK, where now I could use art, you know, not only as a form of expression, but as a resource, as a way of working through my trauma. So, you know, that's the piece that I'm really wanting to, I guess, offer and be authentic with to the world. That to me at this point in my life is right. the most, and in this context of what's happening in the world, of kind of collective trauma, is that there is hope, there is, you know, and there is resilience. And even to, I know our recent communication, Greg, where I said, you know, I thought just a few weeks back, my husband's just come home from hospital. I thought that was going to be the last time I saw him. And had that been a couple of years back, I'd be like, well, what do I do now? But I've built this resilience of being able to stand up in the, but authentically, not dissociatively, because that was my coping mechanism. It's just that I would just, so I was just not here. I'd be like, if I can't cut, I just dissociate.
You know, I don't think I've ever really sat back and looked back on my life about being that disassociation, but I did. Any type of pressure that would come up, I would just pretend everything was fine and put it off into a category and close the door and literally could block it completely out. And that does nothing except destroys everything. Relationships and, you know, your work ethic and everything, you just kind of, I don't want to deal with it. I want to make sure I throw out the number 888-627-6008 if anybody wants to get involved in our conversation tonight. But I want to find out about the art therapy. How does that help you release and help you heal? Explain to me that process of what it means to you and what it could actually help other people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really hard to condense it into because there's so much. I mean, there is so much that has happened. I would say that I found it, first of all, in terms of dealing with trauma, you know, the first piece was that is using it as a resource so that I no longer had to kind of disconnect so that when things got difficult or when I was having, you know, I would disconnect from my body. I didn't need to do that. I was art, making art in whatever form, you know, doing resource art, connecting in the here and now, helped me realize that I'm safe now, right? Because this is the problem. This is why we disconnect, right? Is because we needed to when we were children.
didn't, you know, every time, and I'm starting to put this all together, and I've had the best therapist in the world on. Dr. Bruce Perry was just on a few weeks ago, you know, the world renowned doctor. And I've never thought about that because every time I was being abused, I totally disconnected. That wasn't me. That's why I can literally go into the dentist office now and they say, hey, we need to drill a cavity, but don't give me Novocaine. Just go straight on in. I don't need it. I can totally disconnect from pain and anything that's associated with pain and just block it completely out. If you're not an artist, though, how did you put all of this into the big picture saying, I need to pour it out in art work, in therapy work? How's that work?
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
Because I, you know, in my work, I learned from a client of mine who was a survivor of trafficking. And I was beginning to realize that actually talk therapy, you know, I was a counselor, a trained counselor, but not everything has words. You cannot, not everything can be spoken. Like there isn't because you're not able, there isn't, some things are too horrific to have words for, right? And so I was realizing there's something missing here and I don't know what it is. And that's when I went and did further training in trauma therapy, but still I was just like, there is a missing piece. And the missing piece was creativity. And as you've just said, whether it's musical, whether it's dance, whether it, whatever, where it's somatic, where the body is involved, and we're creative beings, right? We're all creative. You have to be an artist to, you know, and just putting color on a page is art. It's not, this isn't about being a fine artist. And at the end of, or towards the end of my journey, this relationship with this particular person who I'm now working with in a different context, I saw some of her art and it was so it told a thousand stories, and I was just like, oh my goodness, this art, you know, this is a way. So it was that first sparked my, what is this about? I hadn't heard of art therapy, but yeah. Now having trained in this, you know, it is the missing piece. It is. That's why I keep saying that it's the missing piece, and it's very hard to describe it without. It's almost like you need to see it in action. You know, you need to see, because whether it's releasing trauma from the body. I mean, I've done things like I've painted pictures with my hands, like filled just with my hands. I haven't used paintbrushes. I've just, and it's told stories, and it's this, you know, neuroscience proves that it's a way of connecting where you're not, you know, you're connected with that right side of the brain, so that you can do it. You're not held back. But it's also a safe way of expressing it. And then you can stand back from it. You've got it out of your body, and you can look at it, and you can look at what you've done and be like, okay, what do I see here? You know, what do I see? And it also, for me personally, it got me outside. When I looked at it, it helped me really, on a deep level, take on this new self-compassion of looking at trauma and thinking, no longer thinking, which is what I thought my whole life, of what's wrong with you, and instead thinking, what happened to you? Yeah. You know, when I looked at some of the art that I did in my child, it's like I let this child part of myself make art, right? So she would do these things, and I'd be like, what happened? Do you know? So it's concrete. So it's not, it's there. It's like,
okay, help me understand. So for instance, Cheryl, I have about three things in my life that I have yet to tell anybody because it's too deep. It's too painful of what my dad did. And even though I expressed almost everything, and I think I said in my book, my first book, that there's some things that I'm not for sure I want to open that closet. Because it's just absolutely the worst, horrific pain. And I don't even know if I want to open it again. But just bringing it up, I can feel my heart starting to, it still has a hook in me. So when you sit down in whatever art form you're in, do you say, okay, I want to create something that resembles or reflects or releases those skeletons in that closet? Or do you just start creating the overall, all the trauma? Or do you get specific? Hey, this is what happened to me when I was 13 years old with all of these people. How do you decipher, and how do you work through that? And you can send me a bill for the therapy session later.
You trust me, do you, Greg?
Yeah.
The wonderful thing with it is that, yeah, it for sure bypasses that rational part of the brain. And I would argue as well that it does, you know, all those somatic symptoms, I no longer, you know, they're very controllable for me, even in terms of sleeping and night terrors and, you know, I can regulate myself. There's even art, you know, there's an art technique called the Lemnis Gate, which I used a lot to regulate myself. And it's doing I would do it on a big piece of paper and get an art material like a chalk pastel. And you're doing that left to right, like a figure of eight. You know, I mean, this is what EMDR is kind of, right? So the left, and it's very regulating, and it brings you back to the present, and it keeps you in the present. So in answer to your question, I would just sometimes I would intentionally be like, I mean, it's hard to describe it. I would often set up my space. So I've made lots of resource art. I spend an awful lot of time making resource art. And when I say that, I've got like a deck of probably 150 cards, and I cut out collage things, and they've got words on them, and they've got images on them, and they're all different. So some of them have got, say, pictures of like a tiger, and it'll say in there, fierce, brave, connected. Now, I would have these cards, and I've also got a book of like that I've made of all resource stuff, stuff that's going to keep me connected, stuff that's giving me hope and empowering me and connecting me. I would have this stuff out, and then I'd be like, right, okay, what's in my body? What in this moment is going on for me? And then I would just let art lead me. I would be led by my process. I might just start by making a mark on a page, and it would just turn into something. You know, there's one very pretty powerful image which I didn't know what I was doing, and I ended up just doing these handprints that went up. And there's something even in the movement of that that's very empowering and healing that I learned on my journey. But what it does is that it's a very safe way of doing it, because to find words, to find, you know, I hear what you're saying. Some things there are not words for. But what it does is get it out of your body. So you're not carrying these somatic symptoms that, as you well know, you can still carry around so many years later. Yeah. So yeah. Art does something very unique.
This sounds fascinating. And if you have any questions, please get on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page or call in 888-627-6008. We'd love you to join in with this. This is getting me all, I'm getting all expressive here, because this is real stuff. And if there's a way to be able to release that I have not been able to release, I'm all in. I'm all in, and I want to know more about it. And we're going to talk more about this just on the other side of our last break, and then we'll be here for the final segment of Breaking the Silence. Don't leave us right after this commercial break. 888-627-6008. Get involved. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know what you think. Come on back right after this commercial.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right, welcome back. And I've just thoroughly enjoyed it. I like the shows that tap into the heart. You know, this isn't just entertainment. This isn't just something that you listen to then shut off. This is something that'll stick with me. And there's people that I know, that people that I counsel, that I can say, hey, wait, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about getting this book? That when it comes out, I want to know so I can refer people to the book. And maybe even your email and say, hey, if you want to talk to somebody about it, this would be a great way to do that. So in the art therapy, or just in life in general, you mentioned something that your book talked about that I thoroughly believe in. Matter of fact, I'm doing a complete webinar, I believe next Saturday, up in Maine or something virtual, on journaling. And you mentioned journaling. How important was journaling to you, and how did that play a part? And do you consider possibly, I would love to see your art. I don't know if you have any around there or not, but does your art build on each other? So like, it's like a journal, like you write something early and then you notice a year or two later, wait, look where I was and where I am now. Is there a correlation at all with journaling and artwork?
Yeah, very much so. And that's very much part of the process, is making art and then looking at it and then journaling or seeing how does it speak to me? What do I see in here? So a lot of that is in my, you know, my intention, what is in my writing, in my book, is my reflections on it. And I'm super glad that I did that, because that can go. You know, I'm glad that I journaled, I looked at it. I mean, I learned from the inside out. This is what, you know, this is what's really significant for me, is that in my previous training, in my counseling training, I could talk the talk. You know, I could talk and I could be like, I could go, you know, obviously we had to have our own therapy and stuff. And I could be like, yeah, well, I'm okay. You know, I could talk the talk. But art, when you see something concrete and you really immerse yourself in it and you know, there it is, you can't. It's there, you know, and so looking at it, it's very hard to hide if you really want to experience, you know, if you really want healing. It's really profound. It's a profound experience. So journaling very much was part of it. And for me, the whole art, I mean, I made a prolific amount of art. I really did. And then at the end of my, and I was very led by what is my next step? And writing was part of it. And then I would, at the end of my first year there, I made something. It was a very significant process, because I cut up all my art and I cut it into like feathers, and I made this huge piece, and it was called the Winged Maiden, and she had huge wings. And one of my, I call it my trauma art pieces, was of a figure that it just kind of emerged, who had no arms, right? It was a symbolic piece. Really, as I reflected on it, it's like that was symbolic that she had no arms. And then here I was doing this winged maiden with these huge wings that she could now fly, you know. And then again, at the end of the second year, I built this yellow brick road, and that was for her, right? I built her a yellow brick road, a road to freedom. So there's a lot of symbolism. And in the, you know, very much journaling is part of the art. It's not all about art materials as in painting, and, you know, it's about looking at dreams. What, you know, so dream work, that was part of our training. Looking at, yeah, all those aspects, healing in nature, because how much healing, you know, I used to make, when I first couldn't connect with art materials, as in paint, and because I found that very triggering, I guess, I couldn't deal with, and it was like these man-made materials made me feel very small and powerless. So I went in nature and I connected, I would make art in nature, and I connected with wood, and I made a wing out of driftwood. I sanded and spent hours making this beautiful, that I've got downstairs now, beautiful piece of wood that I restored. And it was restoration. I'd restore, you know, I made a wing. It was like, it was so healing.
Okay, so if there's people watching tonight, which I know there are, that are saying, hey, wait, I'm not an artist, I don't do, I didn't take art class in high school or college. I'm just not geared that way. I'm not wired that way. But it kind of intrigues them. What kind of wisdom do you have of getting started? Or say, hey, try this, start off this way. You can't make mistakes. What kind of wisdom do you have for somebody that says, hey, wait, I need a way to release, but I don't understand how to even begin this? Do I need to go get a canvas at Home Depot and all the brushes and the hat and the palette? Or is this, you know, tell me how it works for somebody that really wants to maybe give it a shot.
Yeah, well, there's two things here. First of all, I would say anything, connecting with anything creative is, you know, art in itself is a resource. So absolutely, just getting a canvas, getting a piece of paper and scribbling, getting, you know, any connection with the creative part of ourselves is healing in itself. What I would also say is to, what I would encourage anyone to do if they're struggling with any sort of issue, you know, no matter how they think it may be, you know, because people have, there's this kind of idea of small traumas and big traumas, hey, it's not always, but in life in general, suffering with, you know, just concern, worry, to connect, to try art therapy in itself. You know, art is powerful and it can be very misused as well. If someone isn't trained as an art therapist, I mean, it's powerful stuff. It can be re-traumatizing if it isn't done properly because it is powerful. So it's important to do it in the context of, but I'm using that, I'm saying that aside from, that's not to say that, making art in itself isn't helpful, but working through trauma is really good. You know, damage is done in relationship and healed in relationship. Hey,
right.
For me, the difference is from that and counseling is that art offers I think counseling is brilliant. I am a counselor, but, what art gives is that there's not that dynamic of where it's just between you and a therapist, right? You've got the art and that's empowering. So a lot of my work has been done on my own with my art, you know, it's just like.
Oh. Well, how useful is this with children?
Incredibly.
I think it is too.
I work.
How would that work? I mean, if you have a child that you know has some issues, what would your wisdom be there? Hey, mom, hey, dad, give the book, give a sketchbook to the child, give some colors, give some markers. What would you recommend?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anything like that. But also within the context, you know, I've done some do some art therapy, like groups with kids as well. And there's two things here. You can, there's directive. We use lots of directives as art therapists that we can throw out there, you know, to give ideas for children to do. But I'm really biased towards spontaneous art because we all have creativity within us. And for children, I mean, that's where it's good for us as adults to connect with that part of us that has, you know, often been so damaged. When you're working with a child, whether they're a child that has been through tough times or not, they will be able to connect with that part and put it on paper. And then, you know, it says a lot, hey, you know.
So a child comes in 6, 7, 8, 19 years old, and you can tell it's had a terrible day. Would it be wise for a parent to say, hey, here's a piece of paper, some markers. Tell me what you're feeling on the page. Just draw me your emotions. Is that wise, or does that come back with the wrong response to what we're trying to get at? We're trying to help them release what kind of day they've had or the pain or hurt they've had. Is that good wisdom or no?
Mm-hmm. I think that if it's a natural part of their lives, then, you know, it doesn't need to be that way in terms of they're doing it for a purpose. So I think children that are brought up in that natural, you know, I mean, they're naturally drawn towards creativity. Okay? So I think it doesn't need to be that prescribed and that it's just like, I mean, it can be, you know, to my son for sure. My eldest one is more into it than the others, but he uses it for sure as a form of, you know, he knows that it resources him, it helps him. I mean, he's older, but it depends. But I think it could just be a natural way of life when they're younger. It doesn't need to be. Yeah, and I think there's a danger of interpreting art as well and looking at something and putting a story to it. It's very important that whoever's created that looks at their own stuff, you know. So it's not, I'm not looking at someone's art and saying, oh, well, I see that you've drawn that. That must mean this. It's like, what do you see in it? How do you, and that's empowering. It's connecting, you know, helping them to connect with their own work, however old they are.
Right. We only have a couple minutes left, but is there a vulnerability that is involved in artwork, even though we would think, hey, wait, I'm creating this. There's no vulnerability, but I can see that there could possibly be that concept of vulnerability.
There is. And that's why it's very, very important to be careful, to be mindful of that. It is very powerful. It's an incredibly powerful healing tool. But it can also be damaging if it's misused. So it would be very, it could be very damaging. It would not be helpful to say to someone, for example, okay, here's a piece of paper. Now, how about you draw a picture of your perpetrator?
Oh.
I mean, yeah. Can you imagine? You know, that's where it can be misused. But you know, used in a trauma-informed way, where someone is very empowered, they're given hope, they're given tools to move forward. It's incredible.
That's great. I'll tell you what, it's been great having you here. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, do you have a webpage, Cheryl? Do you have any of the artwork where people can go and look at it?
I've got my webinar, but I haven't put a link to it yet. So that is called the Yellow Brick Road Healing, using art therapy and internal family systems theory. So I can do a link to that. My website is, I can never remember my website, Holding Hope. What is it called? www.holdinghopecounseling.wixsite. So I just don't know. I can.
Okay. Well, kick that to me, will you? And I'll let everybody know what it is so we can get it out to everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I will.
I tell you what, Cheryl, it's been great having you with us. We're about down to 30 seconds, but I appreciate you being here. I want to have you back when the book is getting ready to be released, or just as soon as it's released. You know, we'll get it up on Amazon, and we'll get it to the number top 10 list or whatever, as good as we can for you. But come back and share with us. I want to talk to you also about your wisdom on sex trafficking. This being January, the Sex Trafficking Awareness Month, I would love to have that discussion with you too.
I would love that too, because that's my...
Yes. Thank you for being with us tonight. Next week, we have Miss Texas. We'll be here next week for the whole hour, and we wanted to share that with you. And I did her show last week, and it was great. She has something that she's passionate about, and her whole life is involved in that, and I won't share that with you until next week. But that'll be next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, as we always do each and every week. I always like to end the program with just a couple words of saying, no matter what has happened to you, and as you heard this evening, there's still stuff that I haven't dealt with yet that I need to, but no matter what's happened to you, no matter what's going to happen to you, no matter what is going to happen to you, I want to let you know there's always hope. Always, always hope. And remember the three words we shared with you at the beginning of the show, from now on. From now on, I'm going to make a positive change in my life. Thank you so much for being with us live from Houston, Texas, and live from all the way to the other side of the continent up in Canada. And Cheryl, it was a joy to have you with us tonight. Join us right here next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless and have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.